Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Bill Krivoshik to the broadcast. Bill is the Senior Vice President and CIO of Time Warner. In that role, he leads the execution of Time Warner's enterprise-wide information technology strategy. He also oversees the Corporate Information Technology Group and is responsible for a shared services initiative that provides IT support to all Time Warner businesses in order to improve the efficiency of the company's investment in information technology. Prior to joining Time Warner, Bill served as the first ever enterprise CIO for Marsh & McLennan Companies, a world-leading provider of advice and solutions in risk, strategy, and human capital. Prior to that, Bill was CTO for Thomson Financial and also spent time as CTO of Citigroup's Global Investment Management Strategic Business Unit and as CIO of several GE Capital companies. Bill graduated from Princeton University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science and Electrical Engineering and received his Master of Science in Computer Engineering from Stanford University. I recently caught up with Bill in his office in New York City, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as Bill spoke about the value of Time Warner's brand and being able to recruit and retain top talent. Principle 2, infrastructure, as Bill highlighted the methods he has used driving efficiencies through standardization and infrastructure consolidation. Principle 5, external partnerships, as Bill discussed Time Warner's unique approach to vendor management, as well as some other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Bill Krivoshik, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks, Peter.
Bill, I was interested in having you back on our broadcast. Some of our listeners will remember your interview when you were the enterprise CIO at Marsh & McLennan, so therefore your current role at Time Warner is not your first as enterprise CIO. But I'm interested, obviously, it's a completely new industry, actually a new industry for you when you joined. And I'm curious how you went about your own personal education of the industry, how you put together your kind of 90-day plan as you took on this new challenge.
Sure. So it is a new industry for me. As you remember, I'm primarily a financial services guy. I think there are some similarities, and probably the biggest similarity is in financial services, technology is very critical to the business model. It's the same thing in media and entertainment. So what I do is really important to the overall business. I think the other thing that's interesting, similar to the role I had at Marsh & McLennan, this is the first time Time Warner's had an enterprise CIO. So it's the same, you know, not just new industry, but new role, different way of looking at technology, looking at it from a horizontal perspective, as well as the vertical perspective that we've historically looked at. First 90 days, how did I get to know the industry and what our challenges are? Well, I'm in it a little over a year now, and I can tell you I probably just scratched the surface of the industry. But, you know, I did try to get information from all the sources you think of. As you can realize, the first enterprise CIO gets a lot of vendors calling on them, a lot of consultants, a lot of, right? And so I took advantage of that and said, all right, I want you guys to help me get smart about the industry. What are the trends you're seeing? What are some of the challenges? And what's technology doing in the industry in general? Read a lot of the publications and the blogs. There's a whole handful that are focused on technology and on the media and entertainment industry. But then I did it similar to what I have done in the past with a new role, which is just kind of do a tour of the businesses. So meet with, obviously, the senior technology people, but also, more importantly, I think, meet with the senior business people so I can understand what the business challenges are, the business issues, you know, what's working well, what's not working well, and the best way to understand where we should apply our technology resources to the business.
Very sound way of organizing, certainly. Bill, as you point out, this is your second in a row as being the first enterprise CIO for an organization, for a major organization. And I know from our own experience, there are a lot of major corporations who are instituting the enterprise CIO for the first time. Do you have a thought as to why, say, over the course of the past couple of years, that's been a new role, why it hasn't existed perhaps previously, and why organizations are thinking about that to a greater extent now?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny, and again, it's almost by industry, but I would say, You know, Marsh & McLennan was an exception, but in financial services, there typically is an enterprise CIO, or at least the head of operations and technology, who worries about a bunch of things, including the broad technology strategy. In our particular case here, Time Warner has historically had very, very strong business units, continue to have very strong business units with strong results, and by some measure or other, we're number one in each of our categories, and, you know, really been very successful with a distributed technology model. But there is a recognition, I think, even in very successful companies like Time Warner, that if you do some things, again, horizontally instead of just vertically, if you get the advantage of your scale, if you try to do things once from some of the commodity-based stuff versus five or six or seven times, you're going to get some benefits, some savings, and it's going to free up capital to be invested in either other technology or other things the business wants to do. I think it's probably a recognition that, you know, why leave that stone kind of unturned when it could benefit the overall results of the corporation.
That makes sense. So as you point out, some of the rationale is, in fact, more of a recognition or perhaps an investigation of some things that can be done more commonly, while, of course, there's still a lot that's unique about each of the different business areas, as you point out, in this organization, like many others. Can you talk about some of the areas that you found appropriate to influence to a greater extent centrally as opposed to what has been traditionally done autonomously by each of the businesses?
Sure. And so one of the ones that was actually started just before I came, but is a logical one, makes a lot of sense, is within the enterprise application space, we're now rolling out a common HRIS and payroll system across the businesses. There's the four divisions plus corporate, so it's really across the five business units. And as part of that, we've created a shared services approach for supporting the employees in the business transactions in the HRIS system. You know, so enterprise applications is a good example, and we decided to pick HRIS as the first one. Second one is, if you look at us across the businesses, and if you separate technology spend into kind of three categories, the first being the more traditional IT, and then because of the nature of our business, broadcast and operations, and then the third category being our digital properties, and it's things like HBO Go and the Time Inc. magazines on the tablets and the Turner digital properties. If you separate into those three categories and focus just on the first one, traditional IT, even there we have something like, and again, it depends on how you define it, but something like 30 data centers. It's hard to understand, you know, hard to argue where you'd need more than some much smaller number than that. And, you know, we've got at least five of everything, five help desks, five network operation groups and centers, and it's hard, again, to understand why you might need more than one in some of those instances. And so infrastructure consolidation, focusing on the traditional IT side of the business, is the other big one that we're focusing on right now in terms of shared service enterprise services.
And I know that part of the rationale in thinking about what could be centrally organized and managed to a greater extent, influenced to a greater extent, is freeing up the different businesses to do more innovative things on their own. And you've actually mentioned several of those as well. So has that proven to be a useful model as the organization has been able to subsume some of what had traditionally been kind of common areas?
Yeah, I think it will over time. You know, quite honestly, when you start to do this stuff, it takes a bigger investment from the business units because now they need to look at not just their world, but understand how it impacts across the enterprise. I think if you were to poll the business unit CIOs, they'd probably say, you know, for the last year, we've spent a lot more time on this enterprise stuff. I think if you poll them 3 years out from now, they'll say, boy, it's the best thing we did. We have a lot more time and services costs are lower, right? Services better. And I have more time to focus on truly differentiating technology for my business.
Makes sense. Absolutely. I know that another area that you focused on is vendor management and making sure there are more kind of common processes in place. Can you talk a little bit more about how you thought about that?
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate coming here. We've got a CPO who is really talented, really focused, and very, very good at what he does and his organization does. But I think historically we've treated them, and he and I have had some spirited discussion about this, but I think we've treated them more as a procurement group than a vendor management group. And what I mean is they will negotiate a wonderful rate card or a good price list for products and make them available across the enterprise to all the business units. And then the business units have been free to go and use those or not. And so what has happened is we've ended up with great contracts and in a particular service area or a particular product area, and we might have 3 enterprise contracts and 10 different vendors providing the same type of service. And so what we really want to do is say, you know what, let's figure out what areas we can really define standards and not just great rate cards, and then get it down to where we say, okay, in this service area or in this product area, here's the corporate standard or the corporate two standards, and try to funnel our spend to a smaller number of vendors and get the benefits of more attention from the vendors, better pricing, and you know, all the kind of good stuff that comes with that approach.
That's great. And therefore, the results have been bearing some fruit, isn't it?
Yeah, we're starting to, see some additional results. They had actually done a very, very good job in the commodity, what I'll call the commodity areas, particularly in hardware. So we have standards around servers and desktops, and have had historically had some great contracts in place in terms of pricing and service. Now we're looking at things kind of up the food chain. The interesting thing there is, and again, back to your earlier question about time commitment from the divisions, we're actually using the divisions to help set those standards. So there's a bit of an upfront requirement for them to be more actively involved, you know, and we want to do that for a couple of reasons. One is certainly when you get people involved in a process, buy-in tends to happen a little more efficiently than if you're just telling them what to do. And then quite frankly, the real experts are out there in the business. So why wouldn't we use their expertise to help us figure out what to do across the enterprise?
That makes sense. You mentioned you recently celebrated your year anniversary with the company. Can you talk a little bit more about sort of what your plans are for the year ahead or next couple of years?
Yeah, so what we've done, you know, in this last year, and you know, part of it again was personal development, learning what the challenges are, getting to know the organization, getting to know the different people in the business and in the technology organizations and understand the industry. We're going through a process where we've got, in particular, the infrastructure consolidation is a good example. Right now, we're building a business case that says, you know, what's the investment going to be needed over the next 3 to 5 years, and what's the return on that investment we'll get out of it? And, you know, layer on top of, besides the good financial management, layer on top of things like, what does this whole thing called the cloud mean to our infrastructure strategy? And we're really looking at, towards the end of this year, which is a good timing because of the budget process, that going from, you know, a couple things being rolled out and a lot of things being looked at to solid business cases where we start executing against those for the next 2, 3, 4 years.
That makes sense. It occurs to me, Bill, your recent couple of experiences have been in the B2B space, and now this is a B2C experience. And I know that a lot of organizations are challenged in finding IT employees who truly understand the business the organization is in. And I wonder if, since this is a business that is perhaps a bit more accessible naturally to the average person because they likely have used or watched, read the various properties that businesses that you have here, has that been an advantage, have you found, as people have been onboarded or as people have tried to think further about how IT can create value for this organization?
Yeah, I think there's two parts of the answer to that question. The first is we have some really, really talented people who have been with the organization for a long period of time, and so they really know the business inside and out. You know, some of them have been here for a while, and prior to that, they were at competitors, and so they understand the industry. They're really smart. By any category, you'd put them in best in class. I think the other thing is, quite honestly, what I'm enjoying in a media and entertainment company, and Time Warner in particular, Time Warner brand is a great brand, right? And each of the individual companies' brands are great brands, and people want to come work for us. So, you know, we're able to keep the best talent that we have and attract the best talent when we have needs.
That's wonderful. Last question for you, or last series potentially. What IT trends particularly excite you as you look out into the future? What do you think has legs? What do you see yourself investing in personally or professionally?
Yeah, so I think we're, like everybody else, looking seriously at cloud and SaaS and all the variations on that. And what I think the real driver there is not the sexy technology or the technology that people now have in kind of the popular vernacular out there, but rather that it's technology and technology management that allows us to go from a, you know, heavy fix to more of a variable pricing model in some of the areas. So, you know, why build a new data center today if you believe the security requirements and the price points are at the right level for what you want to host in a data center? Why wouldn't you use the cloud, right? Whether that's a public cloud or a private cloud. We are a data intensive business. A lot of unstructured data, so obviously big data, another buzzword, is one that I think has some real importance to us. And then just, you know, both internally and then externally, consumerization of technology, right? And so we've got HBO on tablets, you know, HBO Go. Our CEO is a big proponent of TV Everywhere, which essentially says, can you access our content from almost any technology platform? Again, the Time Inc. magazines are, all the domestic magazines are available on tablets. You know, I just think consumerization is a key trend that is important to our industry, but I think important in general.
Almost all of your answers, in fact, have implications, as you point out, across all of the business areas. Are there possibilities or even examples of further collaboration across the businesses as a result of kind of meeting out how best to approach each of these kinds of trends?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the trick here is, or not the trick, but the kind of the approach we're taking is we're focusing on more of the traditional IT. And one way to look at it is that stuff that you can get a real benefit and the potential risk is lower than if you were to try to look at some of the stuff that's more important, more closely tied to the business. But even having said that, as an example, our senior management in each of the business units that worry about broadcast meet regularly, right, mm-hmm. to talk about things that they might want to do, if not shared, at least know what each other is doing in a similar fashion.
That makes sense. Well, Bill Krivoshik, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat uses a community-powered approach to provide reliable, secure, and high-performing cloud virtualization, storage, Linux, and middleware technologies. To learn more, visit redhat.com. Listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Calhan Kuhl, and our theme music was written by David Arman. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.